from the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be, to be.
There's sports betting, and then there's Circa Las Vegas, an adults-only sports watching nirvana. Now you can watch up to 19 games at the world's largest sportsbook on a 78-million-pixel, three-story mega screen. Plus, it's always spectator season at America's largest pool amphitheater, Stadium Swim. Stadium Swim is open 365 days a year and features all sports on an epic 143-foot screen. Book your reservation at CircaLasVegas.com. Circa Las Vegas, this is sports the way it should be.
Welcome back to hour number two of the ESPN 1320 Insiders. Get ready for the most up-to-date sports news and talk with the ESPN 1320 Insiders.
Hour number two, that's James Hamm. I'm Kyle Madsen. We're hanging out with you until noon, then we'll hand it off to D'Lo and KC, and they'll take you up to 4 o'clock, where it'll be me and James again, bringing you some NBA Finals Game 3 pregame before we hand it off to the network pregame at 4:30 right here on ESPN 1320. And don't miss a minute of the NBA Finals. Every single game, every single shot, every single second of the Finals will be aired right here on ESPN 1320. I want to shift gears to baseball very briefly because Arizona Cardinals fans, St. Louis Cardinals fans, mm-hmm, are considered by some the quote-unquote best fans in baseball. It's a running bit on the internet.
Okay.
Anytime a Cardinals fan does something bad, everyone's like, yep, best fans in baseball. So anyways, here's what the Cardinals did last night. When Paul Skenes, the rookie sensation for the Pittsburgh Pirates, a division rival, by the way, went into Busch Stadium for the first time and went 6 1/3 innings of 5-hit shutout baseball, he struck out 8. And when he got pulled from the game, here is what it sounded like when Paul Skenes got pulled from the game in St. Louis. Oh, hang on. I'm still learning how to function this. It's really hard to do the stream stuff and run a board and host a show at the same time. So I have to do this and then this. And now we can hear what it sounded like when Paul Skenes got taken out of the game in St. Louis last night.
We'll hand over the baseball, 103 pitches. He'll leave with a runner at second, one out.
Look at this, Greg.
Yeah, we got Cardinal fans giving him a standing ovation.
Incredible.
Go to hell, Cardinals fans.
Game recognized game.
Bro, look. Did you see the guy? If you're listening on the radio or on the Odyssey app or maybe on the podcast, the James Hammond Kyle Madsen Show, download it now wherever you get your pods. You couldn't see the guy. The guy in the Nolan Arenado jersey, very like deliberately doffing his cap from row like 60. He can't see you. That's performative now.
Wild.
Look how cool we are as fans. Dog, a division rival just diced you for 6 innings. Just put your lineup in a blender and just blended it for 6 innings. Somebody on Twitter said this and I agreed to. I would go Anakin Skywalker. I would chop my legs and arms and everything else off before I stood up. And, oh, man, standing O for freaking, I don't know, who's John Gray of the Rangers. Yeah. Yay, what a performance against the A's. I'm just big fan. Wow. Like, no, get him the hell out of here. He's done. That guy's dead to me. I'll respect it. Again, you know what? Good start. But I will, unless you're tossing. In fact, you know what? I am this big of a hater. I could be watching a guy throw a perfect game against my favorite team. Currently, the A's. for now. And I could be watching a guy throw a perfecto.
Mm-hmm.
History, right? You're going to see one of the very, very few of these things. And I would be rooting against it the whole game. I don't want to see it.
Nope.
I don't want that to happen.
No, you're like, come on.
Yeah, I don't care if it's 50 to nothing.
Yep.
I don't want, no. I do not want to see this. I don't care. I'm not going to stand up and be like, wow, what a performance. No, man, I'm hating. That's especially against a division rival.
Yeah.
Oh my God. Can you imagine Giants fan? Now, granted, the Pirates-Cardinals rivalry is not quite, with all due respect to the 1950s and 1960s, is not quite at the level of where Dodgers-Giants is. But can you imagine down at Oracle Park, Clayton Kershaw going 7 innings, 2-hit baseball, 10 strikeouts, and Giants fans as he's coming off the field like, wow, Clayton, what a performance. Wow. Like, you're not a great fan, you're a clown. You're trying to just show everybody how great of a fan you are.
That's wild.
It's dumb.
Yeah. I mean, I was at a game where Verlander shut the A's down in the playoffs.
And you wanted to punt him to Narnia.
Yes. I think they won. Detroit won 1-0.
Oh, yeah. That was game 5 against Sonny Gray.
Yeah. And there was no cheering on Verlander as he walked off the mound. I will say that I was at a game. John Stockton played his last regular season game in Sacramento, I believe, and then his last game as a pro against the Kings in the playoffs. This is long before John Stockton became the John Stockton that we now know.
Mm-hmm.
He was just the greatest short wearing assist man of all time at that point.
Sure.
Now, and then him playing alongside Karl Malone, which now we know too much.
Both
of these guys we know a little bit too much about, but Kings fans gave John Stockton a standing ovation in his last game. And I thought that that was honorable in the moment, because it was like, okay, this is a basketball legend who is walking off the court for the last time.
Yes, that is so different.
Yeah.
If let's go back to the Clayton Kershaw thing. And I saw somebody in the chat say the Pirates aren't anybody's rival. This is irrelevant. No, I get it. Nobody hates the Padres the way like the Cubs and Cardinals hate each other. The Giants and Dodgers hate each other. The Yankees and Red Sox. I get it. I'm not trying to compare it to that. But that's a guy in your division. That's a 22-year-old in your division who is just going to be this dominant pitcher for the next like decade plus, and is going to dice your team every time he sees them. That's so much different than a legend walking off the field for Clayton Kershaw walking off the field for the last time at Oracle Park. I promise you is going to get some kind of ovation. Like that's going to happen for sure. Because like you said, that is the time to be like, wow, hey, you know what? Respect, great career. I get to disassociate from you now, and your performances, either good or bad against my favorite team. Shouts to you for the time and energy and effort that you've dedicated to your life to keep me and my closest 40,000 friends entertained. That is way, way different to me.
Yes.
And if that had been Paul Skeens' last start, hopefully he pitches forever. Hopefully it's 15 years, 20 years down the road. And Cardinals fans are doing that, I wouldn't even noticed. But it's his first start, and they're like, wow, and you got the guy over-emphasizing. He's literally like, leaning into the hat doff, like he's not going to see you, bro.
Well, that and Kyle, we're talking about he pitched 6 1/3. I mean, we're also not talking about like a
that's a great point.
14 strikeout performance going into with like 8 1/3 innings, and he gives up a base runner. You're like, all right, they're pulling him. You know, he's young. We're not going to leave him out there just to try to get the complete game. It's okay. And, you know, he's got all these strikeouts, and I think he finished with 8 strikeouts and 6 1/3.
Mm-hmm.
And it wasn't like you put the stat line in there. I'm like, well, that's not all that impressive. I mean, he'd given up 5 hits. He hadn't given up a run. Yeah, he was good. But at the same time, it wasn't like a, oh, my gosh, we just watched just like the most amazing thing happen.
Yeah. And you had said that earlier, and I was kind of like, well, that's pretty good. But then you go over to Miles Mikolas, who pitched for the Cardinals. 7 innings, 1 hit, no runs, a walk, 6 strikeouts. The Cardinals starter was better.
I think you made up a name. I might be
pronouncing it wrong.
It's okay. I don't care. Baseball names are funny.
I'm sorry. Mikolas. Michaelis. Miles Michaelis.
Yeah, see, I still think it's a made-up name. That's fine.
But that is a real person. He has a face and everything.
I know. Yeah.
That's
crazy. Look,
Paul Skeens is pure electricity. If you've not gotten a chance to watch him, if you ever find yourself hanging out on a hot Sacramento summer afternoon and want to tap into some Pirates baseball, make sure it's a Paul Skeens start because he's electric.
Yeah.
He's throwing 100, 101, 102, and he's got this really fun, just really fluid pitching motion. He's just fun to watch.
It's like watching Mason Miller, Mason Miller, the closer.
Yeah, Mason Miller is a little bit more compact aesthetically. He's not my favorite pitching motion to watch. But Paul Skeens got a really just aesthetically pleasing way that he throws, and he just pumps gas, and it's so much fun. And he's not afraid to Shohei Ohtani, his idol. He grew up an Angels fan, and it's weird that a guy is in Major League Baseball who grew up watching Shohei Ohtani, because it feels like Shohei Ohtani just got in the league, but he's been in the league since 2018. And Paul Skeens made 12 minor league starts. Like, he's very young. So he watched Shohei Ohtani's pitching debut at Angel Stadium, and he gets to face it, and just 101, 100, 103, see ya. And it's like, man, what a stud. So he is fun to watch.
Yeah, oh yeah.
But I didn't mean for this to take a whole segment. But
took a whole segment. It's all right.
I get so annoyed at Cardinals fans, dude. We're the standard bearers for baseball fandom. You're standard bearers for being dweebs. God. Can you imagine Steph Curry checks out of the game after dropping 50 in a game 7 against the Kings, and Kings fans like, wow, we're such good fans. We're going to applaud him as he comes off. Wow, we love Steph. Wow, what a player. What a player. It'd be ridiculous. That'd be ridiculous. Anyways.
I'm with you, Kyle.
I'm going to go now. We'll get back to the NBA Finals. Keys to victory. How do the Mavs get back in this series? We'll tell you next on ESPN 1320, Sacramento Sports Leader.
Now, back to the Insiders with James Hamm and Kyle Madsen. Brought to you by Jiffy Lube on ESPN 1320.
That guy right there is James Hamm. I'm Kyle Madsen, and we are on ESPN 1320, the home of the NBA Finals. Coverage for Game 3 coming up in just a bit at 4:30. Celtics lead the series 2-0. We've got some keys to victory here for you tonight. We've already talked about the Kristaps Porzingis injury situation and how that might affect this series. Can the Mavs get back into it? Can the Celtics get over that hump of, hey, when the going gets tough in the playoffs or in the finals, they wilt. They crumble under that pressure. Can they go in and they've taken care of business so far? Can they continue taking care of business tonight? James, you have the Mavs today. You have the Mavs keys. I'll do the Celtics keys.
Okay.
And give me the first key to the Mavs getting a W, getting back in this series.
Let's see. My key number one.
Oh, hang on. Let me get your...
There we go. Luka has to get everyone involved.
Yeah.
And I don't care how he does it. You know, he can go score a bunch of points, but he's got to figure out a way to get Kyrie involved. He's got to find a way to get Derek Lively going and Derek Jones Jr. and PJ Washington, whatever it is that he has to do, whether that's sacrificing, you know, dropping down to 18 points, which is what Jason Tatum's done, whatever it is he's got to do, he's got to figure out how to get everyone involved, because everyone gets involved, everyone wins.
Yeah, I think that's it. The one tweak for that for me is this is where Jason Kidd, who I think has been pretty good in these playoffs, needs to have an adjustment on offense. It can't just be, hey, Luka, when you get to the elbow, find someone. Because I think part of the reason that Luka has started to become that kind of very Luka-centric, I was going to say heliocentric, Luka-centric offense is because he doesn't trust that Derek Jones Jr. is going to be open or PJ Washington is going to be open. So he's just kind of taking it upon himself. And that to me is on Jason Kidd to be like, hey, we're going to do X, Y, and Z to make sure that when you get here, this is what Boston's doing, and this is how we're going to get somebody open off of that. There's got to be some adjustment.
I get you. And I would say, too, the when everything goes wrong and when the tension builds and when a team like the hyper-focus it is the NBA Finals, a lot of times players regress to who they have been throughout their career. And I feel like a little bit that's what we're seeing from Luka. He's regressed to who he has always been, which is a pretty selfish basketball player.
Sure.
That finds ways to get guys some easy buckets here and there, and his stats always look fine. But it's sort of that James Harden-esque player.
Mm-hmm.
And the difference between him, before the first half of the season, and the second half of the season and the first couple of playoff rounds was, huge. He all of a sudden was changing into a different player, and now we're seeing a little bit of regression back because the going is getting tough.
Yep.
And he's not adjusting the right way.
Yep, definitely. Key number one for me with the Celtics, I have the Celtics today. You have to take the Dallas crowd out of it early.
Mm.
That's a pretty good crowd out there in Dallas, and I think they are ready to try and take Boston out of this game and to try and get in Boston's heads. And if they can come out and be up 10 at the end of the first quarter, I think it's going to be really, really tough for the Mavs to get their crowd back into it. Whereas conversely, if the Mavs are up 10 at the end of the first quarter, this becomes a really, really steep uphill climb, especially or even for a team as good as Boston.
Yeah, I think Boston fans have had the Kyrie sucks chant going. And I do, I think that it's got under his skin a little bit.
Yep.
I kind of want to see what Dallas has in store. And plus, I think everyone loves to see Mark Cuban just get just zip it. zip it cubes.
Sure.
So I don't want to hear you anymore. Yeah.
So you don't. Oh.
Oh, no. I would love to see. Yeah. Okay. I would love to see.
You're talking about the Mavs still.
No, I would love to see the Mavs crowd get silenced if, because they are an obnoxious group.
It would be so funny if the Mavs crowd just picked a rando to boo. Mm. Hey, whenever Peyton Pritchard gets the ball, we're going to boo the hell out of him.
The Kings have done that in the past, the ice cold thing, which was spectacular every time. First it started with Westbrook, but then they would choose an ice cold player of the game.
Mm-hmm.
And then every time they missed, they'd play ice cold. Hilarious. They had a whole bunch of cold as ice. And every time they missed a shot, it would
incredible.
Play that.
Incredible.
And then they complained to the league and the Kings had to stop doing it.
That's funny. Key to victory number two for the Mavs.
Take advantage of Porzingis, whether he plays or he doesn't. If he plays, and you better go at him. If he doesn't play, you better be able to take advantage of the fact that he's not there. Get back to Lively. Get back to Gafford. Get back to your pick and roll. Stop doing all of the Luka stuff. Get everybody involved, but take advantage of the fact that you got a guy with a bad wheel. And again, whether he plays or not, you need to take advantage of that.
Whatever Porzingis was taking away that you have not been able to try yet in the first two games, you have to hammer that relentlessly. Whether he's playing or not, because if he plays, he's going to be compromised in some way.
Yep.
And if he doesn't play, then whatever he's been taking away, go to that repeatedly until Boston has a way to stop it.
Yep.
That I'm right there with you, man. That has to be, and I'm guessing that Dallas, the last 2 days, that's what they've been focusing on, is, hey, how can we take advantage of either no Porzingis or a hobbled Porzingis?
Totally agree.
And if they're not ready to do that, then I have major questions about what the Mavs have been up to for the last couple of days. Key number two for the Celtics, it's got to be Jason Tatum time.
Mm-hmm.
You're on the road. At some point, there's going to be a stretch of the game where, man, you know what? Even if it's 3-4 minutes, you can't buy a bucket. Jason Tatum's got to be the guy. Mavs going to run, it's got to be Tatum going in and making a play. I don't need him to score 50, but I need him to shoot it better than, what'd you say it was, 31% for the series?
Something like that. And 24% from three. None of it's been good.
Yeah, I just need him to be more efficient. I don't need him to shoot more. Just, this has got to be a game where if he's going to hoist it 22 times, I need to see him make 9 or 10 of them and really be a guy that takes the Mavs out of this one.
I would like to see a 25-point, 27-point game out of him. It doesn't have to be huge, but it can't be 16, 17, 18 points again.
Yeah. Granted, as good as he's been as a playmaker, maybe it's just not going to matter.
I guess.
But I'm in stuff like this, I'm going to lean on what I know, and I know that Jason Tatum can fill it up. And so I would like to see him do that tonight. Pause. Number three.
Empty the tank. If you're the Mavs, this is it. If you lose this game, this thing is absolutely over. You do not come back from a 3-0. whatever you've got, whatever energy, whatever like it takes, you have got to leave everything out there.
Yeah.
And so, you know, I would love to see a 30, 35 point game from both Luka and Kyrie. And,
yeah.
And these guys are just going at it and saying, this is who we are. This is how we got here. And this is how we're going to, if we're going to go down in a blaze of glory, yeah, this is how we're doing it. We're going down fighting and hitting miracle shots and just wild, crazy, fun basketball.
Yeah, man. And it can't be, if it's got to be those two guys for sure. But if PJ Washington's open, you got to hoist it.
Yep.
Derrick Jones, if you're going to miss him, you're going to miss him. But being passive and forcing a worse shot is not going to be the way to win it. And I'm circling number 77 specifically on this.
Mm-hmm.
If you're going to get blown by on defense, he's what, 6'8", 6'9"?
6'7", 6'8".
He has enough size to affect offensive players in a chase down situation. That I don't care how gassed you are. You have to make some kind of effort on the defensive end.
I agree.
Yeah. Number three for me with the Celtics, no Porzingis. You got to figure out how to protect the paint. Because if this means now that it's going to be Derek Lively and Daniel Gafford and they're going to start getting offensive rebounds, they're going to start catching lobs and they're going to get the crowd into it and they're going to get rolling and all of a sudden they're getting easy baskets, that spells potential disaster for the Celtics. So figuring out a way to continue protecting the paint, sans Kristaps Porzingis, is going to be a really big deal for them in this one.
Clearly, Kyle is calling for Nemias Keita to play major minutes tonight in Game 3 of the NBA Finals.
Do I need 48 minutes? No, but I don't see why they can't play him 35, 36. Seems pretty easy to me.
Keita time. Amazing.
Yeah, you gotta keep protecting the paint.
Yep.
All right, those are your keys to victory. If the Mavs do those things that James said, then they will make this 2-1 series. If the Celtics do the things I said, well, it's going to be 3-0. And a chance for a sweep in Game 4. But coverage of Game 3 right here on ESPN 1320 is coming up 4:30 on Sacramento Sports Leader. That's James Hamlin, Kyle Madsen.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spunks puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be. To be.
There's sports betting, and then there's Circa Las Vegas, an adults-only sports watching nirvana. Now you can watch up to 19 games at the world's largest sports book on a 78-million-pixel, three-story mega screen. Plus, it's always spectator season at America's largest pool amphitheater, Stadium Swim. Stadium Swim is open 365 days a year and features all sports on an epic 143-foot screen. Book your reservation at CircaLasVegas.com. Circa Las Vegas, this is sports the way it should be.
In life and recovery, every day is a little different. Embrace the good days, the not-so-good days, and the challenges, and acknowledge how you overcame them. Find the path to recovery that works for you. Learn more at cdc.gov/stopoverdose.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience because Purple mattresses are made with a gel flex grid. The gel flex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips and support in others like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the gel flex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid collection that combines GelFlex Grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
Now, back to the Insiders with James Hamm and Kyle Madsen. Brought to you by Jiffy Lube on ESPN 1320.
Bro, I lost an entire segment.
Yes.
Just look, definitely like, all right, let's see. We got a short segment here. We'll do good idea, bad idea, and we'll have the long segment coming up. No, no. I just blew through a couple of segments. It's fine.
I saw it. I was like, eh, it's okay.
I'm glad you did.
It's okay.
Do you still want to do good idea or bad idea, or you want to punt it?
No, I'm okay with, if you want to do good idea, bad idea, and then let's just go quick and then we can get to...
Get to our starred chats?
Yeah, our starred chats.
Okay, great. Good idea or bad idea is something we do every day, typically around 11:15, but we're doing 11:30 today. Welcome to listeners who listen at this time and not 11:15. A good idea or bad idea, three things happening in the world and we decide if that thing is a good idea or a bad idea. So I'm looking at Prize Picks, speaking of degenerate gambling. But Prize Picks is not gambling, it's daily fantasy sport.
Yeah, degenerate... Daily fantasy
right.
sport.
It is my favorite way to consume sports is with daily fantasy. And you know what? I've been telling everybody Kyrie's a stay away for me. Kyrie is a stay away for me. But the more I think about it, the more I want to zag and go Kyrie more on his points for tonight.
I always, what would Leezy do? In the chat, and I think
he'd call us.
I think Leezy is probably going to go more, and so I'm going to go less.
Okay. See, I think Leezy might. It's 23.5.
That's his points for tonight.
Yeah.
Oh, I'm taking less.
You're going less, so it's a bad idea to go more. And we also have everybody's favorite segment coming up, as well with our favorite radio guest. Okay. Bad idea to go more on Kyrie points tonight.
Okay.
Kristaps Porzingis.
Yep.
Would it be a good idea to play with his injury tonight, or is it a better idea to rest him in the event that, you know what, we'll try and push this thing if it gets to 2-1 or 2-2?
I think it's a good idea to sit him no matter what tonight.
I agree.
I think you're up 2-0. You've proven you can beat teams without him. And I'm worried about his long-term prognosis with this injury.
Mm-hmm.
And you need to know more about how it's reacting and what it looks like. And I mean, they're going to be MRIing this thing every day, taking a look and seeing what it's doing. And I need more data if I'm them.
Yep.
So I think it's a good idea to sit him and at least for one game, but probably two, and see what he looks like a week from now.
Mm-hmm.
I know he wants to play. Everyone wants to play. It's NBA Finals, and you don't want to let your teammates down and all that stuff, but still, like, err on the side of caution.
Yeah, that's exactly it. Joe Mazzulla said we're going to protect him from himself. I think the move tonight, unless doctors say unequivocally, like, yeah, hey, you know what? We'll give him a pain injection. He's going to be fine. No loss of range of motion or anything. This thing will heal up when he can rest for 3 months.
Mm-hmm.
Then fine. But if there's any doubt about, like, yeah, hey, he could do some real long-term damage, I'm not letting him get out on the court. Number three, before everybody's favorite segment. Aaron Rodgers is skipping mandatory minicamp because, quote, this is via Diana Rossini of The Athletic, he wants to be somewhere away from football. He's been at all of the offseason stuff. But now the mandatory portion comes.
Yeah.
Where he can be fined for missing the practices.
I think this is a bad idea, Kyle, because, like, there are a lot of people there in New York whose jobs are riding on this.
Mm-hmm.
There are a lot of people who will not survive if this is another season like last season or the season before. Like, this is a moment. And if you can't take this seriously, then what are you doing? And we can think what we want about Aaron Rodgers off the field. And a lot of the crazy stuff that he's been espousing for like the last, I don't know, 3 or 4 years.
Sure.
But at the same time, are you in or are you out? Are you an NFL player still, or are you a guy who wants to go live in a yurt?
Yep.
Like, show me that you want to be here. Show me you want to lead this team. Show me that you understand the gravity of what Robert Saleh is up against, that he may not have a job because of this. And so, yeah, he probably should be there, Kyle.
Man, I'm with you. Unless there's, barring some tragedy in his life that he has undergone, that he is dealing with.
Mm-hmm.
But I feel like that's something the Jets would have known and been like, yeah, he has an excused absence. But that doesn't appear to be the case. He just wants to be somewhere away from football. Like, what? You're about to, you have 3 days of mandatory minicamp, maybe. I know the Niners cut theirs to two. But you might have 3 days more of practice, and then you're gone for 40 days until training camp.
Wow.
You're about to be somewhere away from football for a month and a half. You can't be there for these last three practices where everybody's going to be...
Yeah.
That sucks. I mean, I don't know. I'm trying to think if Joe Burrow had done this, just somebody I'm neutral about, how would I feel about it?
Mm.
And I think I'd mostly feel the same way. But Joe Burrow hasn't been sitting there while he was hurt last year talking about, like, we need people who aren't committed to winning to be out of the building. We're about winning, blah, 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 blah.
Yeah.
Like, well, then what is this?
Do what I say, not what I do.
It's just a, I don't know. It just, that seems like a bad idea to me. Real quick, before we move on, let's get to everybody's favorite segment. It's time for Mitch in New Jersey. Mitch, what do you got for us?
How you guys doing?
What's the buzz about Aaron Rodgers out there on the East Coast, Mitch?
I love his crying. Just so bad. He's playing for the AFC. There are so many good quarterbacks. He's just going to accept the fact. He's lucky he won one. I mean, Dan Marino, you never hear him complain, right?
Yeah.
And I would take Dan Marino over Aaron Rodgers. I love it. Jets never going to win either. Not as long as I'm alive. And just like the Barry Bonds and the San Francisco Giants, shout out to Casey there. They're not going to be winning for the foreseeable future.
Yeah, I think I'm right there with you. Thanks, Mitch.
Yeah.
Appreciate you. Again. Mitch in New Jersey.
There it is.
Thanks, Mitch.
Thanks, Mitch.
You want to get to our star chats now?
Yeah, let's do it.
916-909-1320, 916-909-1320. If you want to join in on the conversation. Our guy Javier called during the handoff the other day.
Oh?
It was like, it was 11:52 because he said, I thought you guys had eight.
Yeah, that's right.
I thought you guys had 8 minutes left. And we're like, no, we're out at 56. We're kind of doing a thing. Call any time that's not 11:50 or 11:45 and beyond. Call it the next day at 11:52. Hung up. I think he realized what had happened, but yeah. So if you want to get involved, you have a few more minutes to do so. So we've been doing throughout the days. We've been starring some chats that we want to talk about. And if you want to get in on the chat, go ahead and hop over to youtube.com/ESPN1320. You can jump in the chat there. Go ahead and grab this first one because I believe you starred the one from David Myers.
Yeah, I think this is a good question. If you had to pick between trading one or the other, who are you shipping, HB or Herter?
Hey, this is a great topic for tomorrow.
We could just save it for tomorrow.
No, I'm joking. Go ahead.
Yeah, this is a tough one. I'm going to say I would probably, I mean, Harrison Barnes is 32, and that's a bigger issue. Although I do think that Harrison Barnes is still a player that you can trust for 28 to 30 minutes a game, and he can still shoot the ball. I would just hope that, like, there's a way that you can find someone who maybe could start over him. I don't think the Kings currently have another player that could start over him. So I think if I were, man, it's tough. I'm going to say if I had to trade one, it would probably be Herter, because I think you might, because of his age, because of his contract, you might be able to get a little bit more value out of him.
That's exactly what I was thinking.
And I think that if Harrison Barnes is your third forward, and even fourth forward, then you're probably a really good team. And I also think that I like the idea of Herter playing more three, but I don't think he's a starting level three at the NBA.
He's started
plenty of games at the two, but at the three, it's a little different. I like him better at the three at this point because I think defensively he's more equipped to deal with threes and fours than twos.
Sure.
But yeah, that's kind of probably where I'd go with that.
Yeah, it is. And I think that we can sit here and we could sit here all day and pick apart, hey, here's how Harrison Barnes can help and here's how Kevin Herter can help. I think the maximized version of the Kings is probably one where maybe they have Keegan Murray at the three and Herter can play the two, and then they get a really good defensive four, and now all of a sudden Herter is not such a liability defensively.
Mm-hmm.
But what you said at the top, I think he'd be worth more in a trade.
No, I think so.
And I don't think either player, either Harrison Barnes or Kevin Herter on this version of the Kings, they need to upgrade both those spots to me. So I think in that sense, it's kind of flip a coin.
Yeah, they can still be part of the rotation.
Yeah, but in the starting five.
But you need to figure something out.
And the other question I have is how would Herter handle a move to the bench?
Mm.
That's the other. So yeah, I think I'm trading Herter again. He's still young. He's still a really good shooter, and I think teams would value that.
Okay.
What else you got? Jack Sack?
Oh, yeah, Jack Sack. Is it a fact the Kings will offer Monk their max, or will they get cute with their offer like they did with Mike Brown? From what I know...
Tell you what they should do.
Yeah, no, from what I know, they are willing. They can't officially offer him anything as of today, because of NBA rules. Once we get to the day of after the finals, then they can actually negotiate with their own free agents. They're in for the max that they can give him, which is $17.4 million first year. I think it's 18 point...
It's like 4 and
something.
68?
478.
78.
478, but you know, like, again, with a 2-year, like, if there's a player option after year two, I would assume that whatever it is that they can offer him, they're going to offer him. And I think it's a good question, but Kings fans should be confident that that's not going to be an issue, that they're already, everyone is under the same understanding that,
yeah,
that this is what the Kings can give you. They're willing to give you what they can give you. Now, what is it that other teams are going to offer?
Yeah. Yeah, I think with Mike Brown, there was a skepticism about where the Kings, what he was going to get as a yearly salary.
Mm-hmm.
And B, from the Kings' standpoint of like, yeah, hey, if we want to punt this guy in 2 years, what are we going to be paying him over the final years of his contract, whereas that's just not going to be the case with Malik Monk. Like, the player coach thing is very different.
Yeah, I think that's what I would circle to. It's the player coach thing that makes it such a different conversation.
So yeah, the Mike Brown thing, nobody should worry about that for now with Malik Monk. Tyler Jennings asked about the draft. What are you hearing?
Absolutely nothing. My friend Brendan Nunes put out a couple of draft picks that had come through last week sometime. Our friend Sean Cunningham from Fox 40, he put out maybe like 3 weeks ago who it was that the Kings, some of the names of the Kings, that the Kings interviewed in, at the combine. Mm-hmm. And that's pretty much it. The Kings are keeping this really low key. It's kind of been their modus operandi for the last couple of years to do this, to keep everything low key like this.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, that's all we got right now, Tyler.
All right, the last one I started this from Jason A. Mattress. I love the A's, he says.
Mm-hmm.
And again, you can participate, youtube.com/ESPN1320. I love the A's, but the whole they have no farm system thing is an absolute joke. Trade all our favorites for nearly two decades for prospects to end up with no high-end prospects. This is my biggest gripe with the Matt Olson deal, with the Matt Chapman deal, with the Sean Murphy deal. Like, pick your favorite A's player who has gotten shipped out. There have been good players they've gotten back for sure. But you see a team like the Dodgers that trades their top prospects to get these stars in, and then they just continue churning out top prospects. The A's have not been able to do that. There's no rhyme or reason or investment in player development. It's not just the roster. It's the minor league system. And that's why they continue to get these prospects who if they're not major league players on day one, like, yeah, hey, they're probably just never going to be major leaguers. And that sucks.
The other problem, Kyle, is that the way they draft is always weird to me. Like, for a long time, all they did was draft college pitchers that were close, right?
Yes.
They wouldn't draft high school pitchers. Then all of a sudden they went on this streak where all they drafted was light hitting shortstops. guys who are never going to have a bat in Major League Baseball, and didn't make any sense, and none of them have worked out, and now you're in the same exact spot. I think that part of the problem that the A's have is that they are so cheap when it comes to the draft that they aren't willing to go get some of the biggest names. They always get cute. They always think that they're going to outthink somebody and outsmart somebody. Moneyball is cool, but at the end of the day, sometimes you have to draft the best prospect, and you're going to have to pay over slot, and you're just going to have to shell out the money.
Pretty straightforward.
They don't want to shell out the money.
Nope.
And that's it.
Yep. Big time. It's time for the handoff. Kenny Caraway in the building. Noted Yankees fan, Kenny Caraway. What's going on, man?
Settle down. Not a Yankees fan, but I do like the Yankees.
Okay.
Yeah, I like the Yankees.
All right. I was gonna say your catchphrase, but I was gonna include a shortened version of Yankees in there, but it didn't sound right in my brain.
Whoa.
Yeah, that would be crazy.
Whoa. Hey, Jesse, nuts. Now listen, somebody gotta get the flag ready.
I'm not even saying. Hey, speaking of which, hang on. Kenny did not hear this yet.
Oh,
Lizzie called into our show yesterday.
Oh, yeah. I hadn't heard this. He got a drop, right?
Yeah, he did.
He earned a drop.
Yeah, he did. We were talking about the hot dog eating contest, which by itself is a whole thing.
That's crazy, yeah.
Ready?
Yeah.
I think I take down 3 glizzies.
Come on, Lizzie. Come on, man. No, man, that's crazy. Yeah, that is wild.
Insane.
Oh, no. Lizzie in the chat.
That is wild.
Oh, no. I'm going to guess that maybe yesterday you weren't sober, and then today you're like, oh, wait, I said that.
That's just the truth, dog.
It's just the truth, dog.
What, do you guys watch the Nathan's hot dog eating contest?
No. I've seen here and there.
Clips, yeah.
I'm not like, hey, let me plan my day around watching people scarf hot dogs.
It's disgusting.
That sounds
it comes on at like 8 in the morning, though, doesn't it?
Yeah, dude, it is. Right.
Here,
that's the thing. It's weirdly during the day.
Yeah.
It's not, hey, 5 o'clock prime time, everybody gather around the TV and watch the Nathan's. It's like, no, hey, it's on at 8:17 a.m.
It's literally the first thing that happens on the 4th of July, at least for us and on the West Coast.
My favorite thing is that they try and treat it. They really treat it like an athletic event, right? Like they really treat it like a. And so they have a winner.
It's a little tongue in cheek when they do. I get the tongue in cheek.
Yes, they're definitely
of it,
a bit. Aspect.
It's disgusting.
But they like pull into the side after they're like, hey, you what? How do you feel? Like, oh, full. What are you going to do? Sleep.
I've always been out on the contest, but when they let them put it in the water, I mean,
that's the worst part.
Come on, what are we doing?
That's the worst part. And it's just like they're just it's like they're dunking bread in water.
Oh, that's disgusting.
And then eating the dog by itself.
I don't want any part of that. And I really hate it because I'm the type of guy, I'm one of those people, I don't like my food touching, you know what I mean? So, like what's a good example? So
what do you do on Thanksgiving?
I try to separate it as much as possible. That's also an issue because, you know, like we'll make greens or something like that.
Sure.
And I also don't like the juice from the greens infiltrating like my mac and cheese or anything like that.
Really?
So
wow.
Will you not eat the mac and cheese if it has been infiltrated by the green juice?
I mean, I'll eat it, but I do everything that I can to keep it from happening. Like I may have 3 different plates.
So if the Caraways ever come to the Madsen house for Thanksgiving, I'll get the divided plates.
I mean, you can or you don't have to. I could just use 3 different plates. It's no big deal.
That's great. You do that.
Yeah, it's no big deal.
Right. That's it. What do you do with like? Okay, so we go to Italian food. They give you the free bread, right? It's the best part about going to an Italian restaurant. Yeah, it's free bread. Yeah. You eat pasta.
Mm-hmm.
You got some sauce left. Mm-hmm. You don't go bread into sauce.
No, bread always stays. Stays naked, so to speak.
I don't think I can handle this.
Always, like, why would I soup up the sauce with the bread? No, the bread is
because it's delicious.
I'm eating the bread by itself. Eating the sauce.
Bread is just pasta in a different form.
Oh, you know what I love going to, like getting mussels and then all the like the juice that they cook it in and just dropping the bread in and letting it soak while you're eating.
Fair enough.
The mussels.
Oh, that's kind of disgusting.
I'm not a seafood guy, so I wouldn't, but I get where you're going and I respect it. I'm fine
now
with
it. Now we talking seafood. Now I'll dip some crab into some butter. You know, one thing that I realized when
hang on. So real quick, I'm sorry.
Yeah.
You eat bread just by itself, no butter or anything?
No, you put butter and stuff on it.
Okay. Like, okay.
But I don't dip it into the pasta sauce.
Have you ever tried that?
I mean, it's
give
not,
it just give it a
not,
whirl.
Well, no, like it's not disgusting or anything. It's not like, you know, the bread and the water with the glizzy. Like,
yeah, yeah.
I'm not particular with that. Like, if pasta got on the bread, like, all right, it's whatever I'm eating. It's no big deal. But I don't actively seek out the pasta to scoop up with the bread. That's all.
Dang, that's crazy.
It's wild.
You've wasted so much pasta sauce in your life. That's nutty.
Well, I always eat it. I always eat the pasta sauce. The plate is clear when I'm done.
Okay.
The plate is clear when I'm done. They don't match up.
What were you going to say?
I realized I went to Reno a couple weekends ago, and we went to this place that had crab. And I've been eating crab my whole life. You know, shout out to my people in New Orleans. Like, that's where I learned. And then I got my people now in Baltimore. I'm eating crab every time I'm there by the barrel. You know, it's just what I do. But I did realize that I am now a utensil guy. I need the tools. I don't want to crack the crab with my teeth.
Mm.
So
that's
give me,
fine.
Give
no,
me
that's
the
good
crab
growth.
Cracker.
That's good growth.
You know, and you
whoa,
dig.
hey.
I'm more
you just say
of...
please.
I'm more of crack all the crab and have a big pile of crab and then eat all of it at one time. Like,
so
I'll do
all
the work.
You get all the stuff out and then just
I'll do all the work. I'll sit there and, you know, like, click, click, click and break open and, like,
and that
know,
way
do
you
all
just
the
go
work.
To town.
And then it's like, okay, now I have a pile of crab. I'm going to
that makes sense.
Go eat that.
I mean, I'm not mad at that.
I respect
that.
I'm not a crab guy. I've tried it. I've really tried. Not my bag.
You're missing out on life, buddy.
Oh, yeah.
Missing
see, I'm a Chiopino guy. So you get the crab in there, you get the mussels.
I'm not a big seafood guy. I'll do shrimp. Oof. If somebody says, hey, crab is all we have to eat, I'm not going to starve. I'm going to be like, all right, I'll eat some crab. But I'm not seeking out a big claw.
One of my new things before we get out of here, we talked about pasta or whatever the case may be. And I got to ask, you think I'm funny? Funny how? Funny how? No. He's a big boy. He can answer, James. What you think I'm funny? Like, what do you mean? What do you mean I'm funny? Like, what do you mean?
Did you see the clip,
Goodfellas?
That somebody put your voice in.
That was Zabo. Yeah, Zabo's he's phenomenal with that. Dr. David is good with the
Saved by the Bell.
I haven't had a chance to listen to it because I've been running around all day since the show ended yesterday. So I got to really like examine it. Shout out to Zay.
I loved that photo, by the way, that I think Dr. David took of you at the compound with your flag and your Niner jacket. That was a sick photo. That was really, really cool.
That was actually disrespectful.
What do you got? What you guys got coming up?
Jerry West. Talk about the logo. Game 3 tonight as well. And, you know, it is June 11th, so you never know what we're going to talk about.
I can't wait. These are my favorite shows from you guys. Reminder, Game 3 of the NBA Finals is tonight. We'll have that for you on ESPN 1320. Pre-game with me and James starts at 4. Network coverage begins at 4:30. Don't miss a minute of the NBA Finals. That's James Hamm. I'm Kyle Madsen. D'Lo and KC are coming up next. We have been the Insiders. We're sponsored by Jiffy Lube. And we will be back with you at 10 a.m. tomorrow. Until then, drink water and be nice to people. Boop!
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be. To be.
America's favorite place to watch football is Stadium Swim, located at Circa Resort and Casino in Las Vegas. Catch all the biggest games at a viewing experience built for sports fans. Chill in one of their 6 pools on 3 different levels for a perfect view of their massive screen. Plenty of seating options from cozy day beds to private, temperature-controlled cabanas. Stadium Swim. Book your spot today at CircaLasVegas.com.
In life, some days are good, and some could be better. The same is true for recovery. Both take work. Both take adjustments. Finding your path is a key part of your journey. And then it's all about walking it every day. Embrace the good days, the not so good days, and the challenges, and acknowledge how you overcame them. Be open to every part of the journey and welcome it. It's unique and it's all part of you. Find the path to recovery that works for you. Learn more at cdc.gov/stopoverdose.
It's not just about watching the game. It's about betting on it. I'm Mike Valenti, and on Cash the Ticket, Jim Costa and I break down every college football and NFL matchup like it's the last game we're ever going to watch, from the best bets to the sneaky underdogs. And of course, as my co-host likes to say, the value. And the one thing we're not going to do is pretend we're professionals. We have fun with it. It's an entertainment product, and it makes watching games a hell of a lot of fun. So Cash the Ticket, follow it in the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.